Scenario. I'm your monster of ceremonies, Marcos the Macabre. Tonight's feature fright is brought to you directly from the deplorably deranged mind of Atlas Clark. This horror is entitled Crawler. So close your eyes and let the nightmare begin. His breath takes form in front of him. It's shaky, with a mix of distress and the cold night air nipping at his face. He tries desperately to steady it, but an unsettling sound coming from the distance makes it impossible. He strains his eyes to see the source of the approaching noise. However, the street post he's laid up against is his only source of light. He's unable to make out anything beyond its glow. The darkness surrounding the light seems so thick. What if the safe haven were to go out on him? He had no doubts that it would come flooding in, and that he would drown in it. The noise calls out from the darkness once again. It sounds closer, sending a panic through him. He tries to get on his feet, only to find he's unable to move. Not just his legs. He tries to push himself up on his hands, but they refuse to budge. He tries moving his head to look around for signs of injuries or anything that might be causing his body not to respond. He begins to breathe heavily and sporadically at the realization that he can't move anything at all. The sound again fills his ears. This time his mind tries to place the noise. Desperate for answers to anything of what's going on. It's like a heavy burlap sack, weighed down by an oozing wet mass, being dragged steadily across the concrete. What the hell could be making that noise? Is it an animal? Or a person? Could they help him? Or would they be just as likely to take advantage of him in his weakened state? The scraping yet again reaches into his ears. He struggles to move with every ounce of strength he can muster. His mind cries, pleading against the helplessness that's now strangling his thoughts. Despair now gushing from the depths of his very being, as his body remains unresponsive, listening to the dragging making its way closer, continuing at the same pace, never slowing, never speeding up, until it stops. Just outside the light's reach. Despite being so close, he's still unable to see anything. His jaw clenches, frantically searching for what he knows is there. His breath freezes in his lungs as gray-skinned fingers slide just into view.
Jesus Christ!
Eric wakes up in a cold sweat, panting, as he quickly sits up on the couch. After catching his breath, he grabs his phone to check the time.
When the hell did I even fall asleep?
When the screen comes alive, he finds he's missed a call along with a voicemail. With a sense of mild irritation, he accesses it.
You have one unheard message. First unheard message.
Hey, honey, I just wanted to see how things are going in the hunt for a new place. I'm sure you're busy looking. No time for a doting mother right now. I love you, dear. I hope everything is going well. Don't leave me waiting too long for a call back, okay? Love you.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. Message deleted.
Damn it. Left the lights on all night. Oh, well, might as well get ready for another shitty Monday. Man, I've been out of it so much lately.
While he listens to the sound of the water pouring down on his head, his eyes begin to feel heavy. They drift down to the drain, watching the water as it circles around. He closes his eyes for just a moment. Eric's eyes quickly shoot open.
Fuck!
Eric rubs his hand over his face, wiping the water from it, along with the sudden sleep from his eyes. Eric sits in his cubicle, typing away at his keyboard, filling out the routine reports, the same ones that made up a majority of his mundane life. He lets out a hard sigh. He stops typing, eyes sinking down into his hands. How had he come to this point in his life? This job was never supposed to last this long. It was only supposed to be a means to an end. Making money while he pursued his true ambitions. That was 8 years ago now. God, had it been that long? 8 years? And he's still in this goddamn cubicle? With no ambitions or progress to speak of? Procrastination dwindling away his youth. When was it that he traded his dreams for complacency? His fists now clenched as his teeth ground together. He's suddenly taken out of his trance by the sound of a beautiful voice.
Hey, Earth to Eric.
Huh? Oh, hey there, Sarah.
Hey, Space Cadet, you still on this planet?
Looks like you canceled my takeoff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant.
I'm just teasing you, Armstrong.
Oh, right.
Anyway, I brought you back to Earth to see if you were coming out with us on Friday night. Wait, did Carl not tell you?
Definitely not.
Of course he didn't. We're all going to the Blue Cypress this Friday night.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're going to be able to make it, or do you have an Apollo mission planned?
Well, I do need the practice. I mean, how else am I supposed to get hired by Elon Musk?
Elon who?
Oh, he's the guy who owns Tesla and...
Really? I mean, who doesn't know who that is these days?
I guess you're right.
Yeah, anyway, I hope you'll be able to make it, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Sarah gives him a wave goodbye. He gives an awkward one back. Sarah looked amazing today. He thought so every day since she started 6 months back. Her long burgundy hair that felt slightly to the right of a big pair of beautiful dark green eyes. The way the black eyeshadow contrasted with her pale complexion. And of course, the way her outfits always complemented her shapely body. A woman far out of his league, there were no doubts in his mind about that. Sure, they'd had a conversation here or there. They'd had lunch together a few times. With Carl too, of course. They were even supposed to go to the movies once, though it hadn't worked out due to an emergency. But those were all things you could do with a friend. He didn't want to overthink it. Losing himself to delusion like that could be fatal to their friendship. But was that really the way to go, if you wanted more than that? Maybe that overly kind demeanor was a way of showing she liked him, but she was kind to everyone. Nothing special about the way she talked to him. However, she did come over to make sure he had gotten an invite. No, she was just checking to see who was going. But she did say, "I hope you'll make it." Ah, stop doing this to yourself. Don't get your hopes up. His thoughts were interrupted again, this time by a not-so-soothing voice.
"And you're welcome."
Carl was the only real friend Eric had made at this dead-end job. Sure, he got along all right with most of his co-workers, but Carl was someone he actually spoke to. Not just the expected courteous small talk you'd make to keep things from getting awkward when stuck with people in confined spaces. No, he and Carl had passionate debates about movies. They played online games with each other. They'd even hung out a few times drinking. One time, he'd gotten him way too high off a strand of weed Carl called Alaskan Thunderfuck. All he could recall from that night was sitting on the couch eating half-baked ice cream, watching Darkwing Duck. Good times with a good friend.
For what? Not telling me about the invite?
Well, maybe not that good.
Bro, for giving that Firefox a reason to come speak to your loser ass? See, I knew if I didn't tell you about the invite, she'd double check with you, providing you some mano a mano time. No need to thank me. I already know.
And how did you know that would be the outcome, as opposed to me never getting the invite and missing out on a night of fraternizing?
Well, for one, I would have told you the day of, if it came to that. And for numero dos, she's into you, bro.
His heart skips a beat upon hearing the words.
Okay, now I know you've officially smoked yourself stupid.
Whatever, man. You're the moron if you haven't noticed all the signs.
Signs?
Oh, ye poor hopeless soul. Cast off this rock of loneliness and set sail on enlightenment to the language of love.
What in the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Bro, the way she plays with her hair when she talks to you. She always smiles and stares when you speak to her. How she always goes out of her way to try and make small talk with you. It's been 6 months. How have you not noticed any of this by now?
Man, smiling and playing with hair don't equal attraction. It's called being nice. Maybe you've smoked away all your perspective, too.
Jesus, you really are a sad, hopeless fuck.
Thanks.
Look, all I'm saying is you better make a move, man. If you don't, I just might.
Yeah, good luck with that. If I ain't got a shot, you're not even loaded.
Way to be a dick. Anyway, I'm telling you, man, don't let her slip away from you.
Carl heads back to his cubicle, leaving Eric with his thoughts, speaking under his breath.
Nothing to let slip away.
He turns back to his monitor, intending to start working again. However, he finds his mind racing, thinking of every conversation he could remember with her. Did she really show all these signs Carl was talking about? No, there's no way someone like her would even consider someone like him. But he was right. She did come over just to make sure he was coming. Wait, had she started playing with her hair during that conversation? That doesn't mean anything. Just Carl fucking with his head. Probably trying to get him to make an ass out of himself on Friday, just so he can get a good laugh. But what if she really was? What if he could actually be with someone like her? Maybe it was worth a try? All of a sudden, the screen goes black, taking him out of his head. He quickly moves his mouse around, followed by pressing away at the keyboard.
Nothing. He looks under his desk to see if a cord was unplugged somehow.
No. No, still plugged in. He looks at the tower, finding the light around the power buttons off. He presses it a couple of times, to no avail.
God damn it. Well, guess I'll...
A faint sound sends a chill up his spine. Its unnerving familiarity comes from just above his head. He's frozen for just a moment, before slowly coming up from under his desk. He finds nothing out of place. His screen was still dark. So what could that noise have been? The thought then shifts. Why is it so quiet? Eric's heart pounds as he listens intently. Hearing no other sounds in the office, he quickly stands up and turns around to leave the cubicle. He stopped dead in his tracks as he's met with the same thick darkness from his dream, creeping just outside the entrance, shooting the primal instinct to run throughout his entire body. At the same time, something tells him to stay still, that if he were to move, it would notice him, and the darkness would pounce on him like a hungry beast, enveloping him with such absolution. It would leave no trace of him left. Suddenly, the sound hits his ears again from behind. His body tenses, and his breath becomes trapped in his chest, like prey caught in a trap. He had nowhere to run, with a predator closing in on him. The noise assaults his ears once more, and his toes clench hard, digging into his shoes. As the sound comes again, even louder and closer than before, so painfully slow, he begins to turn his body. He almost can't be sure if he's even moving at all. Going to look back at his monitor, the noise now immediately behind him, the hair on the back of his neck stands up. When he's finally turned around, he's met with the same dark screen and plain desk. He almost breathes a sigh of relief when the volume on the speakers turn up to max, the sound of white noise now blaring at him. He clenches his ears as it becomes deafening. There's one last, loud, meaty, wet scrape. So loud it feels like it'll blow out his eardrums. Just then, a loud thud comes from the monitor itself as the visage of an abnormally large, spindly gray hand slams against the screen from the inside. The ghostly sight is then immediately followed by the icy embrace from the darkness now swallowing him. As everything goes numb, the sensation of a hand grabbing his shoulder startles him. He screams and recoils back, knocking his seat over. As he collapses into his desk, he looks back to find Carl, looking pretty startled himself.
Fucking Jesus, man. You trying to give me a damn heart attack?
What's going on?
Carl, holding his chest and letting out a sigh, gives him a confused look as he answers his friend's question.
Bro, it's time to clock out.
What?
Eric turns his head to look at the monitor. Not only finding that it's on, but seeing it really was 5 o'clock. The confusion overwhelms him with a sense of perturbation. How could that much time have slipped away from him?
No, we just talked about Sarah like 5 minutes ago.
That was 4 hours ago. Bro, don't tell me you were looking like a zombie at your screen the entire time. Wait. Did you get lit for lunch? Bro, you haven't been like this since that thunderfuck sesh.
What? No, I just started getting back to work.
Carl looks at Eric's monitor.
Looks like the only thing you worked on was daydreaming about that Firefox.
Eric feels an unsettling anxiety washing over him like a tidal wave. Had he fallen asleep? How could it have happened so fast? And how could Carl have mistaken his eyes being open, if that were the case?
Anyway, let's get going.
Let's go.
He picks himself up off the ground. Nervously, Eric goes to turn off his computer. Afterwards, he follows his friend as they leave the building.
You all right, man? You've been acting weird since we talked about the Firefox. Don't overthink it, dude. You'll only make yourself awkward Friday night.
No, it's not that. Well, not entirely anyway. Just been a weird day is all. I keep having these weird-ass dreams.
Carl gives him a raised eyebrow, equal parts confusion and intrigue.
Weird dreams? Don't you mean wet dreams? Ooh, got him.
No, it hasn't been about Sarah.
Lame. Then what have they been about?
Eric goes to answer his friend when a car pulls up next to them with the window down. It's Sarah, wearing a smile as she speaks to them.
Have a good day, you two, and keep out of trouble.
Now, where's the fun in that?
Huh. Never thought about it that way. Well, at least drive safe. Especially you, cadet.
Eric, spaced out, finally realizes she's talking to him.
Oh, yeah. I'll try to keep from blasting off until I get home.
I think most people do. Pretty sure it's a felony to do that in public.
What? No, I didn't mean...
Try not to get thrown in jail before Friday. It'd be a real shame. Anyway, see you tomorrow.
Later.
Bye.
She waves as she drives off. Carl shoots Eric a sly smile.
Yeah, a damn shame indeed.
What?
Ugh, hopeless.
Before either of them can say another word, an alarm goes off on Carl's phone. Carl pulls it out, and his eyes widen with comprehension.
Shit!
What is it?
I gotta go meet my guy. I'll hit you up when I get home, if you want to partake.
If it's not Thunderfuck, I might take you up on that. Hell, maybe even if it is at this point.
Oh, if he's got it, best believe we're Thunderfucking tonight, man.
You want to rephrase that?
Thunderfuck, no, I don't.
I really do hate you sometimes.
You can't lie to me. I know I complete you. Anyways, catch you later, Brochacho. I gotta go before I piss him off again.
Complete pain in my ass, maybe. Yeah, later, man.
Carl briskly walks to his car, hopping in with urgency, and quickly takes off out of the parking lot. It takes Eric a moment before realizing he hadn't moved an inch since saying goodbye to his friend. He shakes himself out of his daze and heads to his car.
Man, I really should try and get here sooner so I can get better parking.
He gets in and goes to start it. He pulls up into his driveway. He puts the keys in the front door and goes to open it. He's looking up at the ceiling while sitting on the couch. The nagging thoughts begin to barrage him. He could start looking for a new place. He told himself he'd start looking months ago. But all he's managed are a few half-assed attempts. He should really apply himself more. Maybe that's why he's been stuck at this dead-end job for so long. Maybe moving in somewhere new could be the catalyst for change. Yeah, why not? And once he was settled in, he could start looking for a different job. This could be the beginning of a brand new life for him. But then again, if he left his job, he wouldn't be able to see Sarah anymore. No, she's not interested. Why waste his time on something that isn't even going to change? Her with someone like him? Honestly, even if she was interested, what would he have to offer to keep it that way? His life wasn't exactly exciting. He was painfully ordinary. However, if he were to move, get a new job, he could turn his life around, pursuing those long overdue goals. Turning himself into someone interesting and worthwhile. Maybe it would be worth a shot to talk to her on Friday. The ringing brings him out of his thoughts. He glances down at it, reading Carl's name across the screen. He contemplates picking it up, and for no particular reason, decides against it. No real thought behind it, just a passing moment. He's then reminded of his mother's missed call. He thinks how he should be calling her back. She does tend to worry when she hasn't heard back from him. But did he really want to spend that much time on the phone with her? A couple of hours from his night, listening to her nagging? What's he thinking?
It's his mother. Of course she should give her a call. Right now. Eric wakes up in a state of confusion. When exactly had he dozed off? He couldn't even recall feeling tired. He goes to move, but his body feels heavy. Like trying to get up from that spot could prove the most difficult task he's ever had to do. He looks back down at his phone.
Fuck.
It's already time to get ready for work? What happened to his alarms? They never went off. Eric, feeling like he'd worked every muscle in his body like an athlete, struggles to get himself off the couch. His body aches in protest. Regardless, he manages to make it to his feet, letting out a painful sigh upon standing, followed by slouching his shoulders and hanging his head low in exhaustion. He stands there, staring at the ground.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Out of his daze, he drives forward, catching up to the car in front of him. He doesn't go far, stuck in stop-and-go morning traffic for work. As he comes to a stop, his phone goes off. He looks at it to see his mom calling.
Jesus, it's only been a day. Whatever, I'll call her back later.
Putting his phone on silent, he turns up the radio. Traffic moving at an inchworm's pace. He loses himself in his thoughts.
She really needs to calm down. I'll find a place just fine without her nagging me every day. It's ridiculous she thinks she needs to call 2 days in a row for that. Or could it be an emergency? No. If it were an emergency, she would have said something when she called last night. Right? I don't think she'd keep anything important to herself until she actually talked to me. Maybe I should give her a call.
Eric's eyes close for just a second. When they open, he's met with a feeling of unease. The steady hum of the motor is gone, accompanied by the lack of vibration from the steering wheel in his hands. He realizes the car is off, quickly going to turn the key in the ignition, which to his aggravation does nothing.
No, 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 no!
In a burst of rage, he grips the steering wheel hard, shaking his body violently, stomping repeatedly on the gas pedal.
God fucking damn it! There's no way this is happening right fucking now!
Eric throws himself against the seat, tossing his head back in defeat. Going to get out of his car, he notices the traffic light ahead. It appears to be out as well. A rush of irritation hits him. However, it proves to be fleeting in the face of confusion. Why wasn't anyone else moving? Just then, the unnerving silence rings in his ears. He looks around at the other vehicles. To his dismay, they're all empty. He anxiously looks around for signs of anyone else. Eventually, his anxiety gives way to panic, as his search for another person proves futile. No matter which direction he turned, or how frantically he strained his eyes to make out anything as a person, he finds no one. The lifeless street stirs up a deep sense of foreboding. He quickly reaches for his phone. His desperate desire just to hear another person's voice is overwhelming. His hopes are instantly shattered when he finds it's as dead as his car. He begins to lose it as he tries to make sense of it all, heart pounding away in his chest, as he debates leaving his car or staying put. He's interrupted by a faint creeping sound. His attention, now focused on finding the source, he looks around the car, but it proves pointless. Everything's just as empty as it had been before. Then suddenly, the sound barks out again, accompanied by movement out of the corner of his eye. He quickly turns to look over, gazing at his side view mirror. In its reflection, he makes out a shape from under a car just a few behind his. Wait, is that what that movement was? Had that been there before? He can't help but lean over to get a better look. After a few moments, he witnesses something slowly making its way from under the car. As it does, he draws a deep breath and holds it. Hands clenched down on the steering wheel like a vice, he watches an elongated pale arm with long raw-bone fingers swing around and touch down on the asphalt, pulling itself forward. The slow, deliberate movements remind him of an animal on the prowl. The wet dragging echoes in the street. He feels his lower back tense up at the sound, his mind beginning to race. Should he run? Should he stay in his car? What would be the better option? If that's as fast as it moves, he definitely could outrun it. But if it could move faster than that, could he make it? Make it where? The other arm now moves in a replicated fashion. In that moment, the sound of the scrapes blare into his car speakers. The sound causes him to jump. After the initial shock wears off, he realizes that he'd been sleeping, along with a car horn bellowing from behind him.
Oh, fuck! Sorry.
Driving forward, Eric thinks to himself, how could he have passed out again without being aware of it? That thought really bothered him, but not as much as the vivid dreams he was having. How could he have so many back to back? And how could they all be about the same thing? What the hell could any of this mean? He doesn't really remember what he was thinking about. When had he gotten to work? He tries to remember pulling into the parking lot, but before he can begin to recall the drive, he finds himself in the building, standing in front of his cubicle, staring blankly at the monitor inside. A nauseating repulsion emanates from somewhere deep down, his zombie-like trance broken by a voice.
Well, I'm glad to see you didn't actually end up in jail.
Eric groggily turns his head to her.
What?
Oh, I just... never mind. Anyway, you sure you're up for being back? You don't look so good, Spaceketeer.
He looks at her with confusion.
I'm fine, but be back from where exactly?
Sarah now mirrors the confusion back at him, but with a dash of concern.
What do you...
Hey, Mr. No-Call, No-Show. Feeling up for the day, huh?
Eric's incertitude, now compounded by a slew of questions.
The hell are you talking about?
The nonsensical conversation wakes him from his stupor with a burning sense of frustration. Now no one looked like they knew what the conversation was about. After a moment of awkward silence.
Hey man, you feeling all right? Maybe you should have taken another day.
What the fuck does that mean?
Hey, chill out a bit. We're just worried about you.
Yeah, you're not making a whole lot of sense, bro.
No, the only ones not making sense here are you two. I just saw you guys yesterday.
The two are taken aback by his statement, glancing worrying looks at each other. Sarah then turns back to him.
What day do you think it is?
Her question brings him pause.
Tuesday. Of course.
Bro, it's Wednesday.
Eric's eyes narrow in irritation and bewilderment.
No, that's not possible. Yesterday was Monday. I was here. We talked about Friday.
Maybe you should sit down, man.
Yeah, take it easy.
His head feels like it's spinning, trying to grasp the information being presented to him. How could he have slept an entire day away? There's no way that's possible, right? The epiphany hits him like a heavyweight.
Oh, man. You guys really had me going. Which one of you came up with this one?
They both look visibly uncomfortable.
It's a joke, right?
You really should sit down, Eric.
Very funny, but the joke's over. All I have to do is check my...
Checking his phone, he stopped dead in mid-thought. He rereads the day over and over in disbelief of his eyes. Wednesday clears the glass on his phone.
No, No, this isn't right.
Hey, come on, let's sit down.
I'll go grab him some water.
Every train of thought in this moment is derailed, sent careening by a displeasing voice calling from across the room.
Hello, are any of you actually planning on working today?
The short, clean-shaved man with a bad comb-over, stomping his way in an irritated fashion towards Eric.
Hey, Stan, I think Eric's...
Eric, good, just the magician I want to talk to. You want to step in my office to discuss your disappearing act yesterday?
Boss man, I think he really needs to relax right now.
Oh, he didn't get enough of that yesterday? You two get to work or I'll have to write you up.
What?
Now.
The annoyance radiated from Carl and Sarah's faces. They both leisurely head back to their cubicles. Eric still standing there, studying the display on his phone, trying to understand what the hell is going on.
All right, to my office, and no phones out during work hours.
Eric takes a moment before sliding the phone in his pocket. He then distractedly follows Stan into his office, desperately trying to comprehend his situation, so hyper-fixated in his predicament that it takes him a moment to realize Stan's talking to him.
Hey, are you listening to me?
What?
I said I know you've been with us for quite some time. However, that does not mean you can pull a stunt like that.
I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
See that it doesn't. I would hate to have to let you go.
Thanks.
Yeah, now get to work.
Eric stands up, making his way out of the office. He shambles over to his cubicle. Upon arriving, he pauses. Is this really where he wanted to be? Did he really want to go in there and write those same damn reports? Especially after losing a day like that? Maybe he was sick. Maybe he should go see a doctor and make sure. He's startled by a voice coming from behind him.
Hey, man, you good?
Huh?
I was worried you were zoning out again. It's lunchtime.
Eric, sitting at his desk in his cubicle, looks up at his friend, a drowsy haze keeping him from reacting with any sense of concern.
Okay.
Bro, you know I don't like seeing doctors, but in your case, I really think you should go see someone.
Hey, you feeling all right?
He's doing the same thing he was doing Monday.
You need to go see a doctor.
Okay.
Come on, I'll take you right now. Stan can just fucking deal with it.
Yeah, he can eat a dick, man.
No, don't want to get you in trouble.
I don't care about that. You need to go get help. This isn't normal.
Yeah, man, this seems pretty serious.
All right. I'll go right after work.
You should go now.
I already got in trouble for yesterday. Don't really want to push it, you know?
She looks frustrated, but gives in to his reasoning.
Okay, but make sure you actually go.
I promise.
Don't worry about it. I'll make sure he gets his sorry ass in.
All right, well, I'm meeting up with the girls for lunch. I'll catch up with you later.
Hey, thanks for checking on him.
Make sure he drinks some water, and you guys have a good lunch.
Yeah, you too.
She gives them a wave and walks off. Carl smiles at his half-conscious friend.
See? Told you Firefox was interested.
Eric barely registers his friend talking.
What was that?
Nothing, you hopeless fuck. Let's get you some lunch.
Eric slowly goes to stand up.
Hey, bro, you ready to go see a doc?
Eric pauses, shutting his eyes, trying to gather his thoughts.
You mean lunch, right?
Come on, let's go, man.
Carl starts walking towards the elevator. Eric's head starts to hurt. He presses his fingers against his temples, rubbing vigorously. What the hell could even be causing this? His eyes shoot open, turning his head to look at the computer. It's already turned off. He stares at it, expecting to hear a sound, when he hears...
Hey, man, you coming or not?
Ah, shit. Sorry. Yes, just give me a sec.
Eric stands, walking over to catch up with his friend, heading out to the front of the building.
So, do you know what hospital takes our insurance?
I'm not sure.
Sarah pulls up next to them, rolling her window down to talk.
Are you taking him, or are you going to follow him over?
I'll just follow him. I'm not going to leave my car here, though. Who knows what that asshole would do?
Yeah, Stan might have a toad. All right, well, let me know how it goes. I hope they can help you out.
Of course. Drive safe.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you get home safe.
You lucky bastard.
What?
Right. Maybe not that lucky. Well, let's get you to... Shit!
Eric turns his head with a startled haste, almost knocking him out of his daze, looking to his friend to inquire what that outburst was all about.
I forgot my keys inside. No problem. I'll just go grab them real quick. Just wait for me right here.
Yeah, man. No worries.
All right. Be right back.
Carl goes rushing back to the front door, quickly going inside. Eric stands in the empty parking lot, still in a stupor from the day. Yeah, going to the hospital's definitely the right call. This was way too fucked up not to go. Maybe the weird dreams had something to do with it. He'd absolutely tell the doctor about them when he... His thoughts seized like an oilless machine. He tells himself it'd be best to wait in his car, trying to wave it away while he walks, telling himself it's all in his head. When he thinks he hears it again, he can't help but quicken his pace.
Stop it. You're freaking yourself out because of that dream. It's nothing. There's nothing there.
The sickening wet scrapes make the terror creep up into his spine, and when he hears it once more, he breaks into a full sprint. But now the sound seems to keep pace with him. In a frenzied run, he stumbles for his keys, in desperation to get into his car as quickly as possible, his heart pounding away in his chest, feeling every beat surging throughout his body. His mind scrambles to remember which pocket he put them in. He tries feeling around for them while maintaining his speed. Pants pockets? No. Neither of them. His jacket? It might be in there somewhere. No, nothing! Maybe he missed them in his pants. He desperately searches for them, willing for them to appear as he checks the same pockets over and over, in a fit of insanity, all the while his car gets closer and closer. Then a truly terrifying thought crosses his mind. In all the confusion of the day, could he have forgotten his keys in his cubicle?
No, fuck.
The thought's like a haymaker to his gut. If he can't get away in his car, how far could he run? How far would he have to run to get away? Could he even get away at all? The sound right at his heels. Is this it? Is he gonna die here? Wait. He quickly reaches for his breast pocket on his shirt. His heart almost leaps out of his chest when he feels the cold metal of his keys in his hand. He eagerly pulls it from his pocket and the car now within an arm's reach. He goes to stick the key into and unlock it. But in hurriedness, he misjudges his aim, hitting the car door and knocking the keys out of his hands onto the ground. His heart sinks as he watches them fall. In what seems like slow motion. His hopes to escape crashing to the ground, the sound now sets upon him. Out of options, he turns to face his pursuer. However, when he turns, he's met with nothing. Not a single trace of anyone or anything. He hyperventilates from the stress, the nauseating feeling rising from his stomach, making him feel like he's about to throw up. He collapses against the car, trying to catch his breath. After steadying himself, he goes to grab the keys. As he looks down, everything goes quiet. The breath is strangled from his lungs once more, as he watches the elongated gray fingers reach out from under his car. It only takes a moment before its icy touch grasps his leg. Clutching it so hard, he feels like the bone will snap like brittle bark. His body tenses, shivering furiously as the pure, empty cold now seizes his body. His mind goes blank. When Eric comes to, he's sitting on his couch, staring at his ceiling in confusion. How did he get here? What happened to going to see the doctor? Did he just come home straight after... What happened again? Eric groggily looks down, searching for his phone to no avail. The sound makes Eric sit forward. As soon as he does, the physical pain jolts through him, causing him to grunt.
Fuck!
His muscles and joints cry in agony. They feel as if they haven't moved in ages. Trying to do so provokes a painful struggle. Finding standing to be too difficult, he lies on the floor. After a moment, he notices the sound has become unmuffled. Eric turns his head to see his phone under the couch just as the ringing stops. He reaches for it, his arm still hurting with every move. He takes his time. Once he gets a hold of it, he steadily drags it back to himself. When he's finally able to look at it, his eyes widen. He had 13 missed calls, 9 text messages, and 4 voicemails. The massive notifications on his phone gives him hesitation to check the date. His eyes close, and he takes in a deep breath. He exhales as he opens them, discovering it to be 5:00 on Friday. His eyes close again, as his mind burns with disbelief.
Oh, no, no, I misread that. That's not fucking right. I just left work not too long ago. It's fucking Wednesday. I couldn't have slept for 2 days straight.
He takes time stewing in his inner turmoil before finally building up the courage to go through his messages. He reads his texts first.
Hey, where are you at? Dude, did you already go to the dock? I told you to wait for me. Whatever. Just let me know what they say, man. You out yet? Did they tell you anything? Bro, what's going on? Did you call in today? Hey, Stan is pissed. Sarah wants to know what's going on, too. Hit me up. I'm coming over after work. Answer your door. I know you're in there. Whatever, man. Let me know if you're still alive. When you feel like it, I guess.
Eric rubs his face with his free hand, mulling over the insanity of the situation. He moves on to the missed calls, 4 from his mother, 2 from work, and 7 from Carl. All right, it's time to listen to the first voicemail.
First unheard message.
Hey, bro. Really uncool to ditch me like that. Well, if you went straight to the dock, I guess I can forgive you. But make sure you let me know what they say, all right? I'll catch you later.
Next message.
Eric, your friend Carl just called me. He told me what's been going on. How could you not tell me something so serious? I've already been super worried about you since I haven't heard from you all week. Call me back as soon as possible, you hear me? I love you.
He feels a tightness in his chest as a somber expression fills his face.
Next message.
Mr. Roya, some of your coworkers have explained the situation to me, so I'll not be firing you at this moment. However, I'll be expecting a doctor's note if you plan on still having a job come Monday.
His remorse now tainted with a bitterness.
Next message.
Eric, please call me back. I'm just so worried about you. Please, just let me know you're all right at least. I love you so much. Just call me back, okay? Please?
The sadness in her voice upset him deeply. He loved his mother so much. And to cause her to sound like that? It hurt him more than any physical pain he was in right now. He couldn't let things continue the way they were. He was gonna call his mother back, apologize profusely, and make everything right with her first. Then he'd call Carl, and Eric wakes up again around 7. An overwhelming helplessness comes spilling out as he begins to cry to himself.
Why? Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? Please, just stop. I just want this to stop. I just want things to go back to normal. No. No.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna let this happen. I'm going to the Blue Cypress. I'll tell Carl and Sarah everything. Then I'll tell Sarah how I really feel. I'll call Mom, too. Tell her she doesn't have to worry and that I love her so much.
Eric, with every ounce of his strength, pulls himself from the floor, feeling as if a weight had been placed on his chest. Yet in spite of the sensation, he stands. Getting to his feet, he feels a sense of triumph. A burst of courage surging through him now, he makes his way to the shower, changes into his nicest clothes, and strolls right out the door. Getting into his car, he turns it on and turns up the music. He pulls out of his driveway and heads to the pub, thinking to himself how he's ready to do things differently. To try and make himself and his life better, he smiles at himself in the rear view, hopefulness in his heart. Then the thought crosses his mind. He should call his mother. Eric goes to reach for his phone. When he realizes he was in such a hurry, he forgot it at his house. No worry though, first thing tomorrow. He would stay on the phone all day with her if she wanted. A little while later, Eric reaches the pub. Stopped at the light out front, he has a good view through the big window facing him, searching for his friends inside. He spots them, giving him a rush of excitement. There they are. It's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna work out. The feeling only compounds upon seeing her. She looks amazing. I'm gonna be one lucky guy with someone like... The thoughts snuffed out as his heart drops. He watches an attractive man he doesn't recognize walk right up to Sarah. He begins talking to her and she starts laughing. The light turns green. His body tenses and he looks away, driving past without stopping. Who was that? Who do you think that was? What an idiot he'd been. Of course someone like her would already be with someone. No, it could just be a friend. Did you see how good-looking that guy was? No way she'd be interested in you over a guy like that. You're jumping to conclusions. Could be a guy she just met there. Doesn't change a damn thing if she finds him attractive. Who are you to her? A coworker? Maybe not even that. Depending if you can get that doctor's note. What if he were to lose his job? If he couldn't find another one fast, he'd be homeless. Eric's mind tumbles into a domino effect of despair, with each thought pushing him deeper and deeper. His mind flashes into scenes of having to move back in with his mother, getting stuck in another dead-end job just to make ends meet. He imagines Sarah in an intimate embrace with that man at the pub, sharing loving caresses and passionate kisses. He imagines himself getting old, with absolutely nothing to show for his life. When had he started crying? And when had he gotten back to his house? He sits in his car in the driveway for a long time, his body now feeling the same ache from before. He finally finds it in himself to open the car door and get out. He somberly walks to his front door when he pauses. Had he left it open in haste? No. He couldn't have been so foolish, could he? Eric cautiously walks towards the open door, weary of a trespasser in his home. Just as he's about to reach it, he's halted mid-step.
Please.
His eyes focus on the front door, widened as they are transfixed on the long, pale gray arm that comes creeping into sight as it reaches just outside the doorway. Eric quickly turns and runs, desperately trying to escape his tormentor. He goes for the car keys, only to find them not in his pockets. He gets to his car, looking inside. The dread bursts like a geyser as he finds them in the ignition, his driver door locked shut.
Somebody please fucking help me!
He runs from his car, headed for a neighbor's house. He didn't know any of them, but surely they'd have to help him.
He reaches the sidewalk and a familiar cold stabs through him. So intense his mind goes numb. His body seizing and shivering with such ferocity he collapses, crashing hard up against the light post in front of his house, hyperventilating, unable to move his body. When his eyes finally open, he can't see past the sickly yellow light cast by the post. That living, vicious darkness now surrounding him once more. However, this time is different. He could swear instead of staying affixed in place, it was now actually reaching out for him, circling him like sharks ready to feed.
No, please, just leave me alone.
His pleas go unheard as the gray fingers find themselves in the light.
This isn't real. I'm dreaming. I fall asleep in the car. It's just a dream.
Eric begins to tear up as an arm the length of a man slowly reaches forward, landing just inches from his feet. Eric, now overwhelmed, begins to sob. He stares at the top of a hairless head, slick with a greasy sheen, the same deathly color as the arm attached to it. It looks almost human, but something about it isn't right. The proportions, they're all wrong. The creature lies face down and without lifting its head to see. It begins moving the other arm with the same predatorial pace. Eric can now see the thick black liquid seeping from what appears to be its face. It begins pooling around its head, the stench of rotten decay assaulting his nostrils. Unable to cover his nose or turn away, he simply scrunches his face. The hand now makes contact with his upper leg. The freezing sensation it brings with its embrace is unlike anything Eric has ever felt in his life. The pain it inflicts is so great, if given the choice, he'd have his leg removed entirely just to escape it. The elongated fingers snake around his appendage, gripping it so tightly, Eric thinks his wish might be granted.
Please, please don't, please stop. I don't want to die.
The creature drags itself up onto Eric's legs, the pungent liquid pouring profusely from it, now soaking into Eric's pants. They go numb. It's almost as if his legs don't exist once submerged in the viscous fluid. A floodgate of thoughts are unleashed on Eric's mind as the other arm reaches out for his shoulder. He thinks of every regret, every time he's let himself down or disappointed someone he loved. The fingers, now grasping onto his shoulder with the same crushing force. He wishes he'd taken that chance and told Sarah he liked her. He thinks about his mother, how he always wanted to make her proud, how she always encouraged him to follow his dreams. The creature continues to pull itself further up Eric's body, smearing its gushing face against him, drenching him in a rancid numbness. He wished he'd quit his soul-crushing job and actually accomplished something for himself. He wanted so helplessly to hear his mother's voice one more time. The other arm now letting go of his leg, making its way up to his opposite shoulder. He wanted to tell her he was sorry. Sorry for not being a son she could be proud of. The other hand squeezing his shoulder like a trash compactor. He wishes he could tell her that he loves her just one last time. The head of the creature now rests against his chest, tears pouring uncontrollably down his face as he looks at it. After what feels like an eternity, it finally starts to lift up its head at the same leisurely pace it used to crawl up his body. As it does, the last thought Eric Roya ever has breaks him entirely. Season 1, Episode 1 of Nightmare Scenario, Crawler, was written by Atlas Clark. Narration by Marcos Delgado. Ash Krueger as Eric Roya.
Jasmine Uyua as Mrs. Roya. Carrie Valentine as Sarah. Baghead as Carl. And William Kilson as Stan. Music by BPM Senpai. All sound effects from freesounds.org. Nightmare Scenario is a proof of concept media production. Did you enjoy your nightmare? Support the Sleepless Nights on patreon.com/nightmarescenario and follow us on Twitter. Join us next month for a new nightmare. Until then, sleep well.